Get ready for this.
Wow, I am blown away by the response I've been getting on Facebook.
Welcome to a brand new episode of
the Upstate's Farmers Market Podcast.
The following program is for adult audiences only.
You are listening to...
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on the Farmers Market Podcast.
Relax and enjoy.
We are one of the few tea-growing farms in the United States.
Hi, this is Chris Thurman from BioWay Farm.
Hi, this is Kristen with Earth and Organic.
Hi, this is Mark Jones from Cedar Falls Farm.
Thanks for listening. And now your host...
Great day, everybody. My name is Stefan, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast, the show that talks to farmers, homesteaders, beekeepers, craft makers, and much, much more right here in the upstate of South Carolina. We keep it fresh and we keep it local. Here we talk about all things farmers market related. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, and become a supporter of SCAFarms.com. It's the home base for my farm online and the Farmers Market Podcast. Now, please share with all your friends on Facebook and other social channels, and let me know if there's a local farmer that you would like to hear on the show. Now, today's guest, he's been farming since the age of 10. And more recently, he's owned and operated his current farm since 2012. You can find his farm at the Big TD Saturday Market in Greenville. He's also at Traveler's Rest, the Swamp Rabbit Cafe Grocery, and many other places across the upstate. Welcome to the show, Nathan Vinette with Growing Green Family Farms.
Thank you very much for having me here.
We're so glad to have you. You can find Nathan and Growing Green Family Farms at growinggreenfamilyfarms.com. Now tell me, Nathan, how did you get started with Growing Green Family Farms, and what is happening on the farm right now?
Certainly. So Growing Green Family Farms started, I guess that would be in 2010 when I was first attending college. I was going for my degree in business administration and small business management. And for my first semester, I had a management class where I had to write a business plan. So I knew that I always had a passion of working with vegetables and flowers and whatnot. So I decided to take that business plan and write it around the concept of a farm. So right from the get-go, it looked great and feasible on paper, which was very encouraging. And I decided to get my feet wet up in Michigan, where I was going to school, and start selling to local farmers markets and restaurants as well. Since then, we have moved to this great state of South Carolina, where we're growing and selling at the, as you mentioned earlier, the TD Farmers Market downtown Greenville, Traveler's Rest, and as well as around 20 local restaurants. Right now, we have a lot of exciting fall crops coming in, and some winter crops as we start transitioning from one season to another. One thing we love about that is just the fresh variety of new produce that comes with each season. Right now we have lots of carrots popping out of the ground, around 5 different varieties of radishes, ranging from your spicy black Spanish radish to your common Sora red, which is like your cherry bell that you find in your local grocery store. We also have our hydroponic systems in full gear, where we're growing heirloom lettuces. We have around 20 varieties of microgreens, red bok choy, green bok choy, and some sweet basil and Thai basil, just to help stretch some of those tender herbs that don't like this cold weather all the way through the winter.
That is amazing. Now, everybody that's listening, you've got to understand, he's doing a ton of things on his farm. And yes, you're probably wondering, well, he's got to be young.
That is correct, especially in terms of what the average age of a farmer is here in both the state of South Carolina and nationally.
So, and you're about 20, mid-20s, is that right?
That is correct. I was born in 1992, so I would be 26 years of age right now.
So you walked out of, you were in college. I mean, you were going to school, getting your degree, and you were told to write a business plan. And you took that business plan and you literally took paper and pen. And then you said, you know what, this actually looks good. And you actually initiated your plan?
That is correct. It took about 1 month of time just talking with, I would bring the business plan to restaurants and to the farmers market managers. And just sitting down with them, they could see the passion I had and wanted to really come behind me and help support me. So right from the get-go, I had a loyal clientele basis that really helped me get started.
And you're doing several big markets, because those markets are not small. I mean, we know the TD Saturday market is a huge one in Greenville, and even Traveler's Rest, and the fact that you're supplying what you, I believe you said 20 some odd restaurants in the local area. I mean, most people would think, oh, he's probably got a large size farm, but your farm is relatively small. Is that correct?
That is correct. Like you said, many people anticipate having a large farm with that amount of space or amount of crops and places that we're supplying, but we right now are farming on right around just 1 acre of outdoor production space.
That's amazing.
And then we also have the vertical. One thing that enables us to grow that much produce on a small square footage is permaculture. It's absolutely amazing when you start straying away from the traditional row crops to using more of a natural concept. How many more crops and the diversity of crops you can have on a much smaller footprint.
So explain that a little bit, because I know some people don't. That's how I got started. I picked up on some of the folks that were on the web that were doing intensive growing and intensive farming. I think a few years ago it was called spin farming, and then it became intensive farming, and then it became like market garden type farming. Is that what you're doing? And if so, can you explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Certainly. So that is very similar to the concept that we are doing it. We have tweaked it a little bit here and there, as one thing that we believe is very important when gardening is having really intentional crop rotation, and then also working with cover crops. But in terms of the intensive farming, one great example that we like to use is, if you can imagine, you have a row of cucumbers that is trellis. Rather than that being the only crop in that square footage, you can go ahead and plant two additional crops that can help either provide assistance with attracting pollinators and also pest resistance. With the example of cucumbers, we'll go ahead and plant the French marigold, which keeps it helps deter aphids while attracting the pollinators. And then we'll also plant like a white alpine radish, which adds both the tillage, but then also if you let the plant flower, the flower actually helps deter your cucumber beetles.
That's amazing. Now that's something I haven't gotten into any sort of depth whatsoever, just starting out under 2 years myself. These are things that I love the idea. The things you're doing can benefit other things that you want to do on the farm. And so they kind of coexist, and they have this relationship working with each other and not against each other. And I'm guessing that allows you to have some bountiful harvests.
That is correct. Yeah. And it's amazing as you continue to develop the system. All of a sudden, not only are you reaping massive rewards in terms of the harvest, but you're also building up the diversity and the sio biome. So you're getting a lot more bioactivity. And on some of the land plots that we're working with, we continue to cycle additional plots in. And usually within the first 6 months, you can see a noticeable difference from the native soil to the soil that we just started to work on, just because of these careful management practices.
And you've been farming this 1 acre for the past 3 years. With some intensity, is that correct?
That is correct.
And what are some of the products? You mentioned a few of them, but what are some of the products that folks can see when they come to, now obviously the TD market's not in full swing right now, but when they go to the grocery store, and I know you mentioned you've got carrots in the ground, but what are some other products that you have throughout the season? So we can just take it season by season. So right now you've got what, and then as the season ends for the winter and then we start getting into the spring, what can we see coming out of Growing Green Family Farms?
Certainly. So right now in the winter season, we just made a delivery to the Swamp Rabbit Cafe and Grocery of fresh beets, red bok choy, heirloom lettuces. We also have a spring salad mix. That's one of our signature products. It's a mix of heirloom lettuces, arugula, baby kale, beet greens, and microgreens. So it's really fresh, excellent for this season. We've also begun the harvest of spinach, which we'll actually continue with that all winter long. All of our microgreens are consistently produced year-round, and we're still actually harvesting a lot of radishes as of yet as well. Both your French breakfast, the Sora reds, so you get some nice color in there. Easter eggs are great because you get some purples and whites. So in terms of preparation for your different meal planning for the winter, radishes is definitely one of those crops that will have steady all throughout the winter as well. And then we'll also have baby kale, arugula, top soys, and hopefully some winter strawberries as well.
And you mentioned you keep saying we. So obviously you're a young guy and you've got all this energy and you're out there farming, but you've got a team, right?
That is correct. I cannot run and operate this farm without the support of my family. Three of my younger sisters are actually hired as part-time farmhands, but then my brother-in-law is actually a business partner in the business.
Okay, now that's we've got to explore that a little bit because there's got to be a family dynamic. It's a family farm, but what's the dynamic with your siblings, first of all, and then obviously you've got a brother-in-law now. So there's you're the boss, and they're working with you, under you. How does that dynamic unfold on the family farm?
Sure. So on a family farm, it is you have to be careful with the dynamics of that. But thankfully, I have very strong relationships with all my siblings. So it's more of a collaborative effort. I just provide direction, and they take it from there. Just as long as they're following the procedures that we have on the farm in terms of we follow the GAP, it's Good Agricultural Practices Guidelines. And as long as they follow that, I can just say, hey, go out and harvest some cucumbers during the summer or this time of year, 20 bunches of radishes, and I know that it will be done. So just having that support structure is absolutely amazing.
And as far as your systems, now I know that's the one thing I'm grappling with is just figuring out my systems, making sure they're consistent and they're timely. So did you come up with the systems that you have in place on the 1 acre, or did you kind of you kind of bounced ideas off of your family members? And how I guess let us know how important, or share with us how important that is to running the farm that you currently have.
Sure, excellent questions. Having a carefully structured system definitely helps with just streamlining the overall operations, especially once you start dealing with volume. Now, 1 acre isn't a lot of space, but when you have permaculture, you have to be a little bit more intentional because you just can't go down one row anticipating on harvesting just one crop. So rather, you have to have three separate bins for the three different crops that we have in that same square footage. We did a lot of research using YouTube and other social media outlets following other farms, but because in the upstate of South Carolina, we have a unique climate, we almost just had to forge our own path and come up with our own system that worked particularly well with our current situation on a farm, especially since on each farm you're going to have, or whatever you're growing on, the land's going to be sloped differently depending on what direction, like is it facing the north, south, east, or west, will also influence how you situate your drainage dishes to what crops you grow and what direction you grow the crops. So a lot goes into it, but a little work on the front side in terms of the planning with the system has turned out and helped us just maintain a lot better product consistency, which in the end term really helps build that customer base because they can rely on that consistency, but then also makes it easier as we're going throughout the year as well.
Well, let me ask you, now where is your farm located?
Sure. So our farm is located in Anderson County, right off of exit 14 from I-85. So it's out in the country. We're actually situated on top of a hill, which is excellent because we don't have to worry about any runoff from other properties above us.
And do you allow folks to come out and kind of tour your farm? I mean, it's an acre, so it's you're not going around a huge piece of property here, but do you allow people to come out and see what you're doing?
That we do, especially going into the 2019 growing season. We're hoping to start participating in different agritourism outlets, and we'd love to just open up our farm just to give people an other experience in terms of seeing how farming can be done differently compared to your large agricultural row crops, but then also just sharing our passion for agriculture or growing with plants and how we can do so without using any pesticides or herbicides.
So are there plans to do workshops, potentially?
That there are. We've actually already participated in a couple at the Greenville County Library System, where I think it was just a couple weeks ago, we participated with a hydroponic workshop. So we really like that format as it's a controlled setting, very comfortable for everyone, but we do look forward to building that as well right on the farm as well.
And that's a relatively new operation that you guys are engaging in, the aquaponics, correct?
Indeed, that it is. I have had experience with hydroponics for close to 5 years, but it is something that we continue to build, especially as it just provides consistency with a couple key crops, which is nice going throughout the season.
Wow. This is, you guys are doing some amazing stuff. You're it's just I'm listening to you and I'm getting energized even in my old body. I'm getting energized just listening to you because it's amazing when you put your mind to something and you're focused, how much you can really get accomplished. And I know as well as you do, you can get a lot out of a day. I mean, especially when you're farming and you realize, okay, if I have systems in place, I can really produce a lot. And the great benefit to everybody that's basically purchasing your products is they know they're getting local food, they're getting fresh food, there's no spray, and maybe you can touch on that a little bit, that you intentionally set out to make sure that you guys weren't spraying anything, you know, that nature had not intended to be on your food.
Certainly. In terms of going spray free, one big thing that we have noticed, both in terms of family members and just the people in the United States and around the world in general, is as pesticides and herbicide usage has gone up, so has different health issues that have been popping up, especially during the last like 4 or 5 decades. So we felt that rather than using chemicals that just try to morph what you're growing, the growing environment, to fit what your system is, why not try to work with nature inside of your system to try to have a more balanced ecosystem? Now, in South Carolina, it is extremely hard, especially with the with herbicides. You have the Bermuda grass. You have the tons of different grasses, and nutsedge especially is terrible down here. So it takes a lot of work to conquer those weeds. But with proper management, especially with ground covers, it helps to keep that suppression down. In terms of insects, we have nearly every insect underneath the sun here in the state of South Carolina, so it makes it challenging. But once again, just with both crop rotation, but then also companion planting, you can greatly reduce the plant stress from insect pressure without having to dip into pesticides.
Wow.
Which I know there's some good organic products on the market, but even those will have a residual effect, and it's hard to see what type of impact it will have on the ecosystem, whether it and affects a local pollinator or beneficial insects. So it's challenging to find that balance, but one thing we've been finding is more diverse your farm is, the more it will continue to flourish just by its own.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, let's dig a little deeper into Nathan. You've got a lot going on at the farm, and I just wonder if you could tell our listeners, maybe there's one or two things that you've learned about life that you've experienced that you'd like to share. Maybe it was a lesson about, you know, a challenge or a hardship that you overcame. Maybe it's about running your business or something that life threw at you, and there's a great takeaway lesson. What would you like to share with our listeners?
Certainly. One very big thing that I found with farming just in general and how it's impacted my life is it's a different pace. Yes, it can be busy and all, but just being able to find rest in farming, getting your hands dirty, being out in nature. There's definitely times where it can be stressful when it's 95 or 100 degrees out, or like earlier this week, around 40 degrees and raining outside. But just being able to find rest in occupation is something I've always wanted, but to actually find it as a realistic thing that can be grasped and experienced is absolutely amazing. And then on the flip side, farming, it's almost like an occupation of gamble. You're planting a seed and you're relying on essentially all of the different weather patterns. You don't know if you're going to get the right moisture at the right time for proper germination. So there's a lot of trust in different elements that you can't necessarily completely control as a farmer. So there have been some different seasons where we'll plant a crop anticipating it to do great. And like earlier in the spring of 2018, we had a two-week period where we hardly saw the sun at all. And we had beautiful crops growing, and they just fizzled out because of the lack of photosynthesis. So one thing we learned with that is, once again, just having diversity helps to build a basis that you're not relying on one crop, but rather you have many different things to fall back on. So it has taught us patience at a different level than I anticipated learning in life, and being okay with that. And it has been quite rewarding just as an individual, and watching that also in my family as well. Everyone come together and help out on the farm when there is a hardship. So that's, I guess, another great side effect of running this farm, is watching out how it both pulls the family together, but then also the community aspect as well.
Yeah, those are great takeaways. The idea that it's the pace of your life, it slows down, and then having patience as a farmer, and then, you know, to be able to relax in your work is an amazing thing that I think everybody wishes they could have in their profession and their job. And it's just amazing to hear it, because most farmers, we're always kind of running around doing something, and you don't think about the idea of patience, of rest, and of relaxing. But you're right. When I'm out in the field, that's exactly what happens. It's like you're transported to a different life, a different world, and it's like all the stresses that are around you kind of go away and wash away, and you're just in the moment, and you're relaxed, and it's restful, even though it's work. And Nathan, I just want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for sharing Growing Green Family Farms with us today. You've been an awesome, awesome guest.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for this opportunity, and just a shout out to everyone out there. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. It is a great experience.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Be sure to check them out online and share this episode with everybody you know. Your support as a listener is key. And most importantly, support your local farms and farmers. Until the next time, my name is Stefan, and you've been listening to the Farmers Market Podcast. Keep it fresh. Keep it local.
If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and review.